You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Father's Quilt. I'm your host, Christina Doyle, and I am so happy. The weather is amazing. The sun is shining. Flowers are growing, and the leaves are all out on the trees. It's so beautiful, isn't it, everyone? It's so nice to be out in nature and calm the heart and calm your soul. There's something very healing about nature. Brothers and sisters, I thought today we would talk about how to pray for a miracle, right? And there are many of us, well, I think every one of us carries a cross of some sort, right? And I've learned to accept my cross, what I've had to deal with over the years, and I think I'm getting better at it, actually, in my older age. Without further talking, I want to have a prayer of surrender for you and for me as well. Okay, everyone, there's something, again, very healing when we surrender our will to and we hand it over to our Lord. So I think that's the first step towards healing and the first step towards recovery. So anyways, let's begin, shall we? In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Today I surrender to you, Lord Jesus. I surrender to you because I trust you. I surrender all to you, my health, my family, my finances, my work, my relationships, my successes, and my failures. I release it all to you. I surrender to you, Lord, my fears, my insecurities, the past, the present, and the future. I belong to you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, as I said before, there are many people facing situations that do require a miracle, and maybe you're one of them. And in these situations, it's not uncommon to wonder how to pray for a miracle. Is there something extra God requires to do the miraculous in your life? What you will discover is the way you pray for a miracle is pretty much the same way you pray for everything else. If you're not sure how to even pray, well, keep listening and I'll show you how. If we are going to talk about miracles, it is appropriate to begin by asking, does God still work miracles? The good news is that God still works miracles. In Malachi, in the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 6, God made a very definitive statement. He said that he does not change. This means if he did miracles in the past, he can do them in the present, because he doesn't change, my friends. What often gets missed when thinking about miracles is God just doesn't perform miracles for miracles' sake, because God is very meticulous with what he does. There's always a greater plan or purpose behind the miracle. And these purposes will vary, and quite honestly, you may not always know what they are, but there is always a reason God chooses to perform or not perform a miracle. It's not easy for us to accept. And, you know, it can be a very bitter pill to swallow. But we have to have faith in God, my friends. We have to have faith that God is in control. God knows what's best for us. As much as we think we do, God knows. God can work a miracle. Here's the bottom line. God can work a miracle at any time, for any person, for any reason. There's only one requirement needed for you to become a candidate for a miracle. You need to have a problem. The problem cannot be one where you provide the solution. It must be great enough that it requires divine intervention, something that only God can do. When your situation is beyond your ability and you acknowledge you need God's help, then you're in a place where God can do the miraculous in your life. This does not guarantee that God will do the miracle, but at least it positions you in case he chooses to do so. So, brothers and sisters, as I mentioned before in some broadcasts, the surrender novena. If you're not sure what it is, absolutely beautiful. I tell you, look it up. It's called the surrender novena. In fact, if you look on the Radio Maria website, there's also in the archive, I'm sure it's coming. It would already be there. Yes, it would be there. The surrender novena. I even did a surrender novena for you that you could do at home. And you can pray that with your family members if you wish. So the surrender novena is on the Father's Quilt. So if you go to Father's Quilt program and you open up the archives and you'll see the surrender novena. Okay? Faith. Here's the thing. Faith is a requirement when you pray for a miracle. However, I want to caution you because there are some who will blame your ability to receive a miracle on the size of your faith. If you don't receive your miracle, either you don't have enough faith or there is some sin in your life. While both things could be true, they're not automatically true. While your faith matters, how you pray for a miracle or the size of your faith is typically not what hinders you from receiving a miracle in your life. Let me remind you what Jesus said about the size of faith required to move a mountain. He replied, Matthew chapter 17, might be verse 19, 20, 21, somewhere in there. Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. While miracles require faith, too often we get caught up in the amount of faith instead of focusing on the presence of faith. So as you can see, it does not take a lot of faith for a miracle to happen. So if faith is present, even a little bit, God can do miraculous things. One more little note. It's not just having faith, but it is also where, or rather, who you place your faith in. If your faith is in God, even if it's just a little bit, then you know what? You have enough. You have enough. So, how to pray for a miracle? There is no formula or magic words that you can say to make the miraculous happen. However, if you want some guidelines for praying, one thing you can do is follow what Paul laid out in Philippians 4. And I'm just going to refer to my Bible because I want to be able to share with you the actual scripture. And while I'm flipping, you might be doing the same thing. 4 and it'd be... Here we go, 6 and 7. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Notice it says, and the peace of God, not the kind of peace that when you sit down, oh, I want some peace and quiet, and you're sitting on your sofa. No, this is which surpasses, this is a kind of peace that surpasses all understanding, all of what we know. A kind of peace, my friends, that can only come from the grace of God. That is the kind of peace that we're talking about here. So here's one thing, four things I want you to do when you pray for a miracle, okay? All answers to prayer begin with prayer. To pray is to petition or to ask God for what you need. Asking tells God you are looking to Him and requesting Him to intervene in your situation. This is how you pray for a miracle. And this is how you pray for everything. You begin with asking. Second, believe. Here's the thing, and this is, you know, many people will say, well, I don't know, I hope so. No, we can't say, I hope so. We have to believe. After you ask, you must believe. While it doesn't take great faith, as we mentioned earlier, it does take some faith because God does not respond to no faith. In other words, if you ask but don't expect God to move, then you won't see God move. Sometimes your faith will require actions that demonstrate you believe. The Bible is full of stories of people praying for miracles and God asking them to do something to demonstrate their faith. Don't be surprised if God asks you, my dear friends, to do the same thing. Third, I want you to give thanks. You must make thanksgiving a part of your prayer. Thanksgiving comes when you put your situation in His hands and you leave the outcome to Him. Excuse me. I'm so sorry. I couldn't suppress it. That sneeze. Anyways, the reason you can give thanks is because you know He has heard your prayer and you trust He will do what is best for you in that situation. And for this, you can give thanks. All right? So let's recap that, right? So number one, don't worry, but ask. Number two, you have to believe. Number three, you give thanks. And number four is the hardest one. You have to wait. After you've asked, you believed and given thanks, all you can do is wait. Waiting is not a passive activity. Waiting is an action word. This does not mean you don't do anything, but it means you are anticipating and looking for what God will do in this situation. The reason you can wait is because God will give you the peace in the presence of your need for a miracle. The peace of God will protect your heart and mind and allow you to wait for God to move. Now, what do you do if you have prayed for a miracle and God does not answer your prayer the way you want Him to? And this is where trust comes into play. You must know, believe, and trust God has your best interest at heart all the time. You must also believe that God is a good God all the time. God's goodness is not established, nor does it change, based on how God chooses to answer your prayer for a miracle. God's goodness, my friends, is forever sealed by the work Jesus did on the cross, right? He paid the price. That is the place you can always go back to when you question God's goodness in your life. When it comes to miracles and answers to prayer, after that, as I mentioned earlier, there is always a reason God chooses to answer or not answer your prayer. Whether he does the miracle or not, know that he loves you. He cares about your situation, and he is working, even though you may not understand how. I want you to remember one thing. As you pray for your miracle, don't stop praying. God wants you to pray. Believe and trust him for every situation in your life. Praying does not always guarantee you will get the result you want. However, consistent prayer should align your heart and will with what God wants. Ultimately, prayer is not about what you want anyway. Prayer is about what God wants, trusting he will do what is best for you. And the challenge is our definition of what's best. And his definition are not always in alignment. And that's why you must pray, my friends. You can be certain when you pray that God is looking out for your best interests, regardless of how the situation feels and looks. This doesn't mean that you will know what that best interest is, but it does mean that you can be confident in the one who will never leave you or forsake you. He has promised to be with you through every challenge that comes in life, and that will never change. So keep praying for miracles, keep believing for them, and keep giving thanks. Once you've done that, what God has asked, then all you can do is stand back and see what God will do, knowing that his decision is best. So that, my friends, is very important in terms of how to pray in your life. So I know that may sound, well, but you might come with a doubt that says, you know what, Christina, I haven't been such a great person, or I've committed some horrible crimes and more horrible things in my life. Then we might think, well, who can receive a miracle from God, right? Who can receive a miracle, right? So what is impossible with man is possible with God. Luke chapter 18. Impossible. It's a word that we've used and heard throughout human history. The Wright brothers were told no one can make an aircraft for a man to fly in. It's impossible. Architects of the Golden Gate, right? I'm just going to just fix my little screen here. Okay, right. So they were told impossible. The architects of the Golden Gate Bridge were told that no expanse could be safe. No expanse that long could be safe. It's impossible. The engineers that constructed the Hoover Dam were told nothing could hold that much water. It's impossible. Impossible, improbable, or simply insane. It just can't happen. But it has happened. Time and time again, man has been defying what he previously thought was impossible. It's amazing how much progress people have made for civilization and for themselves, right? All because of this little word called impossible. Personally, with just a bit of self-confidence and sticking to it, there is a chance and an experience that that they will experience the possible, that no amount of positive mindset or persistence can change. So your mother has been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. The economy tanked, your company folded, and your house is being foreclosed. Your spouse has given up on the marriage. You've lost your faith entirely because life has taken such a bitter turn. We all face bad situations, my friends, in which nothing we do seems to make any difference, and hopelessness really just fills our heart. It's at times like this that we understand only a miracle will do. Only the supernatural, divine intervention of Almighty God will get us out of such an awful mess. But not just any God, my friends, not just any God. Okay, when you survey the landscape of the world's religious systems, there is only one with a history of miracles. Okay? There is only one Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Confucius is never credited with doing miracles. Neither is Buddha. The Quran clearly says that Muhammad performed no miracles. Whereas Jesus, he walked on water, opened blind eyes, cleansed lepers, and made lame men walk. He led massive crowds of hungry people with 5 loaves of bread and some fish. He turned water into wine. He cast out evil spirits from people. He raised the dead. And in fact, the Apostle John summed it up nicely. Jesus did many things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have enough room for the books that would be written. And that's in John 21. John 21. Jesus Christ is the God of the impossible. He does miracles. Miracles are not just unusual or amazing. Like the longest fall a person survived without a parachute was actually 21,980 feet into snow. Amazing? Yes. Miracle? No. Or when researchers split a human hair 17 times, or even the most children ever born by one woman, 69. Amazing, yes? Exhausting, yeah. Miracle? No. Miracles are also more than simply good fortune, okay? Like winning the grand prize, finding a front row parking spot at the mall during Christmas season, picking a great stock portfolio, or being late for a plane that goes down. A miracle is when God purposely intervenes in your life to do for you what otherwise could not have been done. When you've done all that you can humanly do about your circumstance, and it's still hopeless, but then something suddenly changes, and you know only God could have caused that to happen. That is a miracle. That is a miracle. And I always think of this in the scripture. I'm just trying to move my little screen is stubborn. What can I say? Here we go. Right. Of the woman who was subject to bleeding for 12 years in scripture. She had suffered a great deal under the care of so many different doctors and spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and she touched his cloak, because she thought, you know, if I just touch his clothes, I know I'll be healed. And immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. And Jesus knew that something had happened to him. He could feel the power, that energy leave his body. He knew. He didn't know what till he turned and saw her. And he said to her, "Your faith has made you well." Now that is a miracle. She did all she could. She had spent all she had the doctors did all they could, and still her situation was hopeless. But God stepped in and did for her what otherwise couldn't have been done. So we need miracles, brothers and sisters. Sometimes, you know, have you ever felt like your faith has been on cruise control? Have you ever felt yourself going through the motions of Catholicism? Have you ever felt like you've lost your first love? Have you ever felt like your faith needed a lift? Well, brothers and sisters, we've all felt that at times, right? We've all experienced something like that in our lives. And it's then that miracles destroy our doubt. They starve our fears and deepen our faith. Remember David's testimony? David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. 1 Samuel chapter 17, I think it's like 30 to 38. David's faith was deepened. It was deepened by experiencing God's miracle deliverance from a bear, a lion, and his experience laid the foundation to receive a future Goliath miracle, right? We know that one, right? Miracles are great faith builders for us as well. And as I'm getting close to the end of this broadcast, we are going to continue to share regarding miracles and prayer. And I want you to know, brothers and sisters, this is, unfortunately, we as humans, we are very short-sighted. We're thinking of the present. And there are some very dire situations that some of our listeners are going through right now. And they're praying for a miracle. I wish I had the answer for everything, but I don't. But I know that God does. I have to trust God. In this world, my friends, this pagan world, wants you to doubt, wants you to question God, wants you to second guess your faith. It wants you to be on shaky ground. It wants you to be sitting on the fence and saying, you know what, I don't know if I really have faith in God. I don't know if he's really going to help me. This is the test of enduring our faith that says, all right, when times are great, we're all for faith, aren't we? We're smiling and praise Jesus and hallelujah and singing those hymns from our bottom of our heart. And as soon as something goes wrong, then we say, well, wait a minute, why is this happening to me? Why is this happening? This is the evil one. The devil will come in to make you doubt and be afraid. So I will continue this on the next broadcast. So stay tuned when we talk about how to have a miracle prayer. Because I don't want to leave you doubting. That's not at all what I want you to do. Whereas the evil one wants you to be filled with fear, filled with anxiety. That's where that's coming from. Remember, God is Almighty God. God is good. God is love. He loves you, brothers and sisters. He wants good for you. He's not like the evil one who wants to destroy you. That's what the evil one wants. Whether it's in a dream, you've had a bad dream, don't come from God. Only good comes from our God. Only abundance and love and peace. All of that comes from our Lord Jesus. So brothers and sisters, put it in its right place, in the garbage where it belongs, because it doesn't belong in your heart. Okay? So stay tuned for the next broadcast as we continue this lovely broadcast regarding miracles and prayer. God bless you all and see you next time here on the Father's Quilt.
I've got no regrets.